So just talking to the Lord this morning, I asked him, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he just said the word redemption. Well, this is because it was a wild morning, because of the toe thing, I didn't get to have my normal time with the Lord, which I really miss, which is sort of a true north thing for me. But I heard him really clearly about redemption. I said, well, Lord, I really don't have much time to think about redemption. He said, well, since you're in the process of being redeemed at all times, maybe you could, it shouldn't be that hard to talk about. And so we're going to go for it, huh? And see if the Lord ministers to you. Because the word redemption is connected to the word forgiveness. But it just adds a lot of depth to the word forgiveness. Now remember, we've talked about this before. So many Christians think forgiveness means that God's not mad at you anymore. And God was never mad at you, by the way. God so loved the world. What he hated was sin. But forgiveness is not that. The word forgiveness literally means to put something away. So it doesn't exist anymore. So it shouldn't be a surprise that he says to us in Romans that our sins he remembers no more. Well, that's the whole issue of forgiveness. And that's hard for us as Christians because we talk about, well, I've forgiven them, but then you think about what they did to you all the time. You say, yeah, but I don't trust them, and I think about what they do, but I've forgiven them. What does that mean? That you don't hate them anymore? And so here's the deal about things like forgiveness and redemption. Jesus made that decision for you a long time ago because you're in union with him. And he accomplished that 2,000 years ago. You said yes to it the moment you were born again, but it was accomplished 2,000 years ago at the cross. And he's your life. And so you don't get the option to dictate what forgiveness looks like. He alone does. And he forgave everyone without anybody having proven yet that they were sorry for it. You with me? And he put it away. See, but I can't do that. I understand. That's why you're a new creation in Christ. He can do that. He just wants you to surrender. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I love this passage. It says in verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Wow. That sets you free to not feel guilty anymore or insecure because you don't think you're one of the strong ones. They're the ones in trouble, not the weak ones. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. It's all grace. For by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom. Wisdom is a who, not a what. Jesus is our wisdom. He doesn't give us wisdom. He is our wisdom. Who became to us wisdom and righteousness. Righteousness is a who, a person. And sanctification, holiness is a person, and redemption. Jesus is my redemption. Let me get a few scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. This is the connection between forgiveness and redemption. In verse 7 it says, in Christ. So if you're in Christ, by him you are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus, new creation because you're in Christ. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him, in the person of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And in Colossians 1:14, in whom... Again, in Jesus, not just by Jesus, not just Jesus created it, but it's in him, and we're in him. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So it indicates in this verse that forgiveness of sins and redemption are the same thing. But they're two sides of the same coin. They give two different nuances to this whole idea. And then I'm going to read you one more scripture. This is from 1 Timothy. We talked about this the other day. One of the best places in all the Bible. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. But there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. The word ransom and the word redemption are connected. I love the way Roy Hessian defines redemption in his little book about the Book of Ruth. Because the Book of Ruth is all about redemption. It's about our kinsman redeemer. And to be a kinsman redeemer, there's several qualifications that were necessary. One, you were kin. That's why Jesus became man. A mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus, the incarnation matters. Yet to be a kin, you have to want to redeem the person, buy them out, pay the ransom, buy them out of their condition that they're in, set them free, put that situation away forever, and then you have to have the ability to do that. And so Jesus is our Boaz. He's our kinsman redeemer. Because having become man, he has the right to redeem us. Matter of fact, he clothed himself in your humanity and mine. He took on sinful flesh, though he never sinned. So because he, God, became human, though forever God, he became human and will be forever human. And so he identified with our humanity, my kinsman. He certainly had the desire, he stepped out of eternity into time, but he also has the ability. That no matter where you've been, no matter how dark its situation was, no matter who you were, he came to set you free, to pay the ransom, not just to, quote, pay for your sin, but to buy you out of the condition that you were in, the lost condition, the slavery to the sin, the slavery to anger. How about the slavery to getting your feelings hurt real easy? Anybody ever do that? Get offended all the time? That's not Jesus. You ever know that Jesus never gets offended? Oh, by the way, it's the first step to inner healing in that area. Do you know Jesus never gets offended? And if he's your life, if you're one with him, then you're doing that apart from him. It's kind of like that story when I was in Africa at the airport, and I kind of got impatient with this person who was working there, and ask their forgiveness when I'm sitting down. I said, Lord, you would never act like that. And he said, I didn't. It was all you, Chucky. And so when you take up offense, that's not Jesus. It's all you. He never gets offended. And so he came to set me free, to buy me out of that slavery. Bondage to anger, bondage to selfishness, bondage to self-centeredness, bondage to rebellion, bondage to getting offended, bondage to gossip. All that stuff, bondage to insecurity, and anxiety, and fear and worry and depression, all that stuff, he did it. And my redemption's in this person. And the word redemption, Hessian says, and I agree with him, it means forgiveness, but more than forgiveness. It means to overrule for good and restore all the loss occasioned by sin. Think about that. To overrule for good and restore all the loss occasioned by sin. So not only does he put away, because you remember at the cross, in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about eternal redemption. In him you have redemption. That can't go away. It's not because you deserved it or earned it, because you're in him. He's the redemption. He was the ransom. Think about that. That you were in bondage, to the sins you committed, the guilt of sin, but you were in bondage to the very power of sin, the power of, quote, your fallen personality. And a ransom had to be paid. And God said, I'm the only one who can pay it. That was the plan, that he would become a human so he could pay the ransom. Yes. And from the cross, it says in Colossians 2, from the cross, he forgave all our transgressions. 2,000 years ago, all of them, he forgave. And so what he accomplished at the cross was he was our ransom paid. He bought you out of your condition. Not just you under the guilt of sin, broken law, but he bought you out of your slavery to sin so that you don't have to walk in offense. You actually can walk in his capacity to love those who are offendable. You get to experience his love and his peace. When somebody offends you and you practice the presence of Jesus and you're starting to get offended and you look to Christ and Christ goes, you know what? I just think I love them even more. You go, oh. Would you like to join me in that, Chuck? Yes. Because there's liberty and freedom in that. Amen?
Amen.
He's redeemed me from that nonsense. He's redeemed me from anger. He's redeemed me from anxiety. I find myself in situations sometimes, like when I hurt my toe. When I woke up the other day, my toes are not a color it's supposed to be. It's four toe. It looked like, okay, somebody stole my toe and put a sausage in there. And I didn't know what happened. It's fractured, whatever it is. But then I realized this is my favorite toe. And so I don't want to lose my favorite toe because that could happen. And I just like started to get anxious and the Lord said, you know what? I'm not anxious about that at all. And then I said, well, what if I lose my toe? He said, well, I've had my eyes put out before. People have cut my tongue out when Paul was on the Damascus Road, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm sure Saul went like, whoa, because every time he touched a Christian, he was touching Jesus. So you say, yeah, I had ears cut off. I'm thinking, so toe's not so bad. He said, Chuck, I have no fear in this. You want to join me? I've got faith for this. Regardless of what happens. See, that's being redeemed out of. And the person that I used to be wasn't just what we think forgiven, it's put away. Everything I've ever done or ever will do wrong has been put away. He doesn't remember. He paid for all my sins for all time. And so I can walk around not being sin conscious. We talked about this the other day in Hebrews chapter 10. And I have to walk around being constantly conscious of my inadequacy and my weakness and my sin, being bent towards myself. And I have to walk around all the time and feeling guilty because I blew it. And I know there's some separation. I'm in Christ. Father can't be separated from me unless he separates himself from Jesus. And that he is continually my redemption. That he will continue. Not that you can just go do anything you want to. You want to do everything he wants to. But when you blow it and there's true repentance, which is mean you just come in agreement with him again, he doesn't just say, I've already forgiven, but I'm still in the business. I am your redemption of overruling and restoring everything that you lost occasioned to sin. And so again, that little example that I finished, when I was in Africa and I fussed at that guy, which I really don't, that's not my deal. I have real sensitivity to those people who work there because they don't get paid much. Westerners fuss at them all the time. There was no excuse. I was tired, but tired's not an excuse for sin. And so after I walked away and I went back to him and I said, look, and I scared him when I got his attention. I think he thought I was going to fuss at him some more. I said, I just really need to ask your forgiveness. And that was really wrong. And I'm really sorry. And he just broke out in a smile, because I don't know if he's ever had a Westerner do that before. And I said, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the work that you do. It means a lot. He just said, thank you. He restores, overrules for good all the lost occasion of my sin.
Amen.
So be encouraged. He doesn't want you walking around worrying about sin all the time or being controlled by sin all the time. You have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness means that not just what you've done is put away, but the one who has done it and who does it has been put away. And you're in Christ, okay? Amen? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.